But people don't always find it easy to be grateful. Don't find it easy to feel grateful to parents or teachers, or even to their spiritual friends, if they have them. Some people seem to find it very difficult. So why is this? What's the reason for the difficulty that they seem to experience? I want to go into this just a little before we close. After all, gratitude is an important quality, an important spiritual quality, an important virtue. It's a quality that was exemplified by the Buddha. The Buddha, as we've seen, was grateful to the Bodhi tree. He was grateful to his former companions in asceticism. And not only that, gratitude featured in his teaching. It features in the Mangala Sutta and elsewhere. So evidently, it's a very important ethical and spiritual quality. Cicero, the great Roman orator and philosopher, says somewhere that gratitude is not only the greatest virtue, but even the mother of all the rest. The mother of all the rest. Ingratitude, therefore, represents a very serious defect. On one occasion, the Buddha said that ingratitude was one of the four great offences deserving of Niraya. Niraya, in the sense of rebirth in a state of suffering. So that's a very serious, a very weighty statement on the part of the Buddha, that ingratitude is one of the four great offences deserving of Niraya, or downfall into inferior, painful state of existence. So why are we ungrateful? Why are we ungrateful to our parents, ungrateful to our teachers, ungrateful even to our spiritual friends? One would have thought that, as Buddhists, we would have been simply bubbling over with gratitude to all these people. A clue perhaps is to be found in the Pali word that we render as gratitude. As I've said, this is katanyuta. As we saw, katanyuta means knowing or recognizing what has been done. That is to say, what has been done to one or for one's benefit. So similarly, a katanyuta, a being the negative prefix, or ingratitude means not knowing or recognizing what has been done for one or done to one, in a positive sense, for one's benefit. So why is this? Well, there are a number of reasons, and I shall touch briefly on four of the more important reasons, and then say also briefly something about the reasons for ingratitude in connection with the spiritual life. The four most important general reasons for ingratitude are: one, failure to recognize a benefit as a benefit; two, taking benefits for granted; three, egotism; and four, forgetfulness. So first of all, failure to recognize a benefit as a benefit. Hope this isn't beginning to sound too scholastic with all these subdivisions, but it is important. So failure to recognize a benefit as a benefit. There are some people who do not regard life itself as a benefit. Hence, they don't feel grateful to their parents for bringing them into the world. Sometimes they say things like, well, I didn't ask to be brought into this world. Well, if you believe in karma and rebirth, well, this isn't really quite true. But anyway, this is what people sometimes say. And in a few cases, of course, they may not regard life as a benefit because they feel it is painful, even predominantly painful. And They therefore, or more often we miss, they don't regard it as a benefit because they don't appreciate its value. They don't realize the immense potential of human life. In Buddhist terms, they don't realize that it is possible for a human being, and only for a human being, to attain enlightenment, or at least to make some progress in that direction. Similarly, there are people who do not regard knowledge or education or culture as benefits, so they feel no gratitude towards their teachers, that is, towards those who at least try to teach them something. They may even feel resentment. They may feel that something called education or culture is being imposed upon them. And such people are unlikely to come in contact with spiritual values, unlikely to come in contact with the Dharma, and unlikely to come in contact with spiritual friends. Or even if they do come in contact with them, such contact will be external and superficial. They will not be able to recognize them for what they are. They may even see their spiritual friends, or those who try to be spiritual friends to them, as enemies, and therefore the question of gratitude will not arise. We mustn't think, we mustn't be under the impression that all the people who heard, so to speak, the Buddha speak or teach, you know, felt grateful to him. There were many people in the Buddha's day who didn't see the Buddha as the Buddha. They saw him as a rather eccentric, unorthodox teacher. And they certainly didn't feel any gratitude towards him for the gift of the Dharma. Sometimes they slandered him, and on some occasions they even tried to kill him. Secondly, taking benefits for granted. Here we recognize benefits as benefits. We even recognize that we have been given them by other people. We recognize that we owe them to other people. But we do not realize that those benefits are a free gift, so to speak. We do not recognize, do not realize that they've been given to us. We think that they are owed to us. We think that we have a right to them. And we think, therefore, that they belong to us already, as it were. So, we've no need to be grateful. There's nothing to be grateful for. This attitude is, of course, very widespread in society today, in all sorts of ways. People tend to think that everything is due to them, think that they have a right to everything. Parents, teachers, the state have a duty to provide them with whatever they want. Even spiritual friends, they may tend to think, have a duty to provide them with what they want. And if they don't get what they want from one spiritual friend or from one teacher, one guru, and get it quickly and in the way that they want, well, off they go and try and get it from some other. Once again, the question of gratitude doesn't arise. I am not, of course, saying that parents and teachers and so on should not do their duty. I'm not saying that they should not bestow benefits to the best of their ability. What I'm saying is that those benefits should be recognized as given, and saying that the response to them should therefore be one of gratitude. And then, egotism. In what way is egotism a reason for ingratitude? Egotism has many forms. It has many different aspects. In this connection, by egotism I mean an attitude of chronic individualism. The belief that one is separate from others, that one is not dependent on others in any way, not really, that one does not owe anything to others, that one is not obliged to them, that one can do everything oneself. Dickens's Mr. Bounderby is, of course, a good example of this sort of attitude. But there are other examples in literature. the Satan in Milton's Paradise Lost, and there's Black Salvation, as he was called, in The Life and Liberation of Padmasambhava. The person who is egotistical in this sense is incapable of feeling gratitude. He or she does not admit that they've been benefited by others. They may not actually say so, as Mr. Bounderby does, but this is their underlying attitude. And this attitude sometimes finds expression in the sphere of the arts. Some writers and artists nowadays don't like to think that they owe anything to their predecessors. They want to be completely original, to strike out on a completely new path. They don't like to think there's such a thing as cultural heritage. They don't like to think there's such a thing as a literary canon. In some circles, especially in the United States, this attitude has taken an extreme, even a virulent form. It's resulted in an attempt to repudiate the greater part of our literary and artistic heritage on ideological grounds. This is an extremely unfortunate development, and one that could even be disastrous. Therefore, it is to be resisted whenever possible. Egotism, in the sense in which I'm using the term in the present connection, also finds expression in the sphere of religion. It happens when we don't acknowledge the source or sources of our inspiration, or when we try to pass off as our own a teaching or a practice that we have in fact learned from our spiritual friends. Let me come now then to the fourth and last general reason for ingratitude, and that is forgetfulness. There are two main reasons for this forgetfulness of ours, that is to say, our forgetfulness of benefits received. First of all, of course, there's the passage of time. Perhaps the benefits were given us a long, long time ago. So long ago, in fact, that we have no distinct recollection of them anymore, so that we no longer feel grateful to the person or persons who bestowed those benefits upon us, even if we did originally feel grateful to them. This is perhaps the principal reason for our not feeling grateful to our parents, at least not actively grateful. Over the years, so much has happened in our life. Early memories have been overlaid by later ones. Other relationships have assumed importance in our lives. Perhaps we've moved away from our parents geographically, or socially and culturally as well. So we forget them, practically speaking. We forget the numerous ways in which they benefited us when we were young, when we were small, and we cease therefore to actually feel grateful. Secondly, we do not feel the positive effects of the benefits very strongly in the first place. So the original feeling of gratitude is not very strong, and it's easy therefore for it to fade away and to be forgotten altogether. These then are the four most important general reasons for ingratitude. Failure to recognize a benefit as a benefit, taking benefits for granted, egotism in the sense in which I've defined it, and forgetfulness. The reasons, in that they play a part in varying degrees in all cases of ingratitude, whether in respect of parents, teachers, or spiritual friends. In respect of spiritual friends, perhaps the most common cause of ingratitude is simply forgetfulness. And this brings me to the reasons for ingratitude in the spiritual life, and therewith to my conclusion.